If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. And right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, WWE Hall of Famer Bully Ray and I, as we always do on a Thursday, we talk about AEW and NXT from Wednesday night. And wow, what an AEW dynamite we got last night. Cody Rhodes and that awesome moonsault off the top of the cage. And I explain how I think that may have been the best moment so far in the short history of AEW. We also go into NXT and how did they follow up what was an amazing, amazing NXT takeover in Portland. We get into Velveteen Dream and Roderick Strong, which was the main event from NXT, and of course, the Undisputed Era. We do all that right now on the Busted Open Podcast. AEW NXT and Cody Rhodes. I think that's exactly what we're going to be talking about today, especially Cody Rhodes. You heard it in that soundbite that Gabby played coming back from the break, and that is that cage match with Wardlow. We all know what the ramifications are in that match with MJF coming up at the next pay-per-view for AEW. But, I mean, to me, that was something that we just can't gloss over. That was a significant moment last night in Atlanta, a homecoming for Cody Rhodes, you know, in the same place. Now, obviously, it's not the Omni. It's a new building. But on that same hallowed ground where Dusty Rhodes had so many Hall of Fame moments. And to see that big crowd for AEW last night and Cody in the main event, that was a pretty damn special moment to finish off AEW Dynamite last night, Bully.
Once again, I will go back to the beauty of the simplicity of pro wrestling. What did Cody and Wardlow do? What did they really do in that cage?
They had a fight. They had a match.
They had a fight.
Yeah.
They had a little fight. Cody bled. They had a little fight. False finisher two. Big move off the cage. 1, 2, 3. Place was going absolutely batshit crazy. Simple. When you have characters like, now Wardlow isn't an established character, but Wardlow has MJF's residual heat. Obviously, Cody, as I've said before, Cody is the Dusty of AEW. Cody walks on water to those fans. Now, let's talk about Cody's moonsault for a second, because I have two different opinions on it. So what did you think of his moonsault?
I loved it, actually. Okay. It's funny. I actually mentioned this to Alex before the show, Bully. Like the way he fell, it looked different. It seemed like he was floating for a while in the air. Was it necessary? Maybe not. But the visual of it and the moment, knowing what this match meant to him and to those fans that were watching, I really loved that moonsault last night.
He did something different with the moonsault that I haven't seen a lot of guys do before. Do you know what it was?
No, what was that?
He went immediately. The minute he got to the top of the cage, boom, he went. He didn't stand there and think about it. There was no delay. I'm not a big fan when guys delay moves. So I like the fact that he went so quickly and he stayed laid out just in case. He stayed in a perfect laid out position when he landed, because if for some reason Wardlow wasn't there, and trust me, Wardlow did not get a lot of Cody on that catch. Not much, just enough. But if Wardlow wasn't there at all, Cody can always just take a pancake bump and completely protect himself. This is where like the stuntman mentality of pro wrestling comes in. So listen, It was a cool visual of him climbing to the top of the cage. It was a cool visual to have him a bloody mess with that blonde hair. It was a cool visual to see that float over moonsault. It was a cool visual to see them get to 1, 2, 3. Everybody is going apeshit over Cody's moonsault this morning, right?
Yes.
We've seen it before. We've seen it from a bunch of guys before. I'm not quite sure why people are so shocked about it. I'm not taking anything away from it, but it's not the first time we've seen a moonsault from the top of the cage. And I'll go as far to say, I think Cody's done it before.
Yeah, but this is where, like, and I'll go back to a moment that you were a fan of and that you were in attendance for, is, and that was Superfly Snuka's fly off the top of the cage onto Don Morocco. It wasn't that long before it that we saw him do the same thing with Bob Backlund. The difference was is that in that match with Bob Backlund, he was the heel, and in that match with Don Morocco, he was the face, and it was about the moment. It wasn't so much about the match, it was about that moment. Man, you could go back to that match with Snuka and Don Morocco. You kind of forget Jimmy Snuka lost that match. He didn't even win that match. And when he did that leap off the top of the cage, it was after the fact. It was after the match. But you're always going to remember that moment. It's him on top of that cage before he took that leap. That's what I kind of think of when I look back at last night. I'll be remembering that moment 20 years from now, and it probably won't even be about the story with MJF. It's just getting caught up in the moment like I did as a fan watching that last night.
You get no argument from me when you say I got caught up in the moment, mm-hmm. and I'm going to remember the moment, because that's what wrestling is all about. It's about the moments we create, excuse me, that will live on forever. My shock is when I took to social media and I saw everybody going crazy for the moonsault, but I'm like, it looked really great. I really liked it. Yeah, double thumbs up. I get it. But we've seen it before. It seemed like the reaction of a lot of wrestling fans. And maybe I was reading the reaction of younger wrestling fans who had never seen a moonsault off the top of a cage. I mean, like I said, I even think Cody might have done it once before. And I could be wrong. But it's not the first time I saw it. Thus, I was like, all right, yeah, it looked really cool. And if I really looked into it, I'm not a huge fan of the moonsault from the top of the cage. Not because it's dangerous. Listen, if you're going to be dangerous, last night was the show to be dangerous on. It just never really made sense to me. If you want to climb to the top of a cage to do a high cross body onto your opponent, yeah, I get it. But going a blind backflip from 15 feet high in the air, it's very easy for somebody to just sidestep you. So I've never really been totally on board with the psychology of the moonsault from the top of the cage, no matter who has done it. It looks spectacular. It's awesome. Yada, yada. I get it.
No, I like what you're saying, Bully, because it makes sense, because you're looking at it as the psychology. If you're in an actual fight and you hate that person that's across from you, you're not going to do something that would make for a cool visual. But like you said, in all reality, that person could just sidestep and then you're flat on your face. So in the eyes of, like, in a fight, psychology-wise, that might not be the best move. And you're absolutely right. I can't argue with that, because if you're in an actual fight, you're not going to be doing a moonsault on top of somebody. But then you mentioned something that's really interesting that really got me thinking. And you're right. After that match, after that show, even this morning, a lot of people were talking about how spectacular that moonsault was off the top of the cage. And I can understand you, Bully, saying, well, we've seen this probably many times, if you think about it, throughout all different types of promotions. But it also hits me when you were talking about what you always say on this show, that a lot of people talk about when it comes to making moves important and making them count. I think a lot of times we see moves, and even like a moonsault off the top of the cage, where it's not significant in the story or significant in the match. And I think that's where things get lost. A lot of times we see moonsaults off the top of a cage and it's forgotten right off the bat because it wasn't in a moment that was significant. That's why you got to hold certain special moves for nights like we saw last night, because I think it's all about the significance of the match and the significance of the moment.
Do you think the significance of the match would have been taken away from without the moonsault?
No, but I think that definitely added to it. That was, you know what that moonsault was last night, Bully? It was the exclamation point on the whole aura and the whole environment of what was going on last night. Cody's hometown, Cody's return to hallowed ground when it comes to his family and his father. I had goosebumps when he was entering the cage last night. When he climbed up that cage and with the lights and the way he was looking over that crowd, I actually got goosebumps. So no matter what took place, the significance of it wasn't going to be lost on me, but that moonsault was the exclamation point on the whole night.
Does an exclamation point deserve to be on last night or at the end of the feud with MJF?
If
Cody were to get locked in a cage with MJF and Cody did the moonsault on MJF, now I'm on board with your point. That's the exclamation point. I know there's people out there who hear things only the way they want to hear them. I am not knocking the moonsault. I thought it looked great. He actually threw a little thing in there that made me like it even more. I'm just wondering why people are going so batshit crazy for it since we've seen it before. Mm-hmm. And personally, as a wrestler, when it comes to psychology, if you're going to climb to the top of a cage, I'd much rather see somebody do a high cross body or a swanton or a leg drop or something like that where they're facing their opponent. They can see where their opponent is so they can do a definitive offensive maneuver to them. Going backwards, to me, doesn't make sense. There's entirely too much room for error. And if you watched AEW last night, they gave you the replays. Did you see like that high jib shot they showed from above Cody's head?
Yes.
You saw when he landed, he only got a piece of Wardlow.
True.
That could have went the wrong way, not from a dangerous point of view or a potential harm to Cody.
Where you completely lost the impact because it was missed.
What if it would have been missed?
Yeah.
That's why I don't like the moonsault off the cage. That guy on the bottom needs to be really, really skilled at catching. Needs to be able to judge you in midair to get his body underneath you. What they did was really, really good. And I'm not, if you're listening to me carefully enough, Dave and Nation, I'm not taking anything away from it. My only other point was, wow, I can't believe people are going so crazy for this. But then I could also trump myself and go, well, of course they're going crazy for this. It's Cody in AEW, and they're going crazy for everything right now.
When you're selling online, getting your orders out can be a real pain. How do you keep track of who gets what? Which shipping carrier should you use? Are you getting the best rates? That's why you need ShipStation.com. It's the fastest, easiest, and most affordable way to manage and ship your orders. Just a few clicks and you'll be managing your orders, printing out labels, and getting your product out fast to keep your customers happy. ShipStation makes it easy. I know when I send out my La Greca Guy and La Greca Girl t-shirts, what I use is ShipStation. ShipStation works with all the major carriers, including USPS, FedEx, UPS, even Amazon Fulfillment. So you can compare and choose the best shipping solution for you and your customer. They offer big discounts on shipping costs. Now, any business can access the same postage discounts that are usually reserved for large Fortune 500 companies. You'll always know that you're getting the best deal.
No wonder ShipStation is the number one choice of online sellers. You'll ship more in less time with the best rates available. And right now, Busted Open listeners can try ShipStation free for 60 days when you use offer code BUSTED. There's absolutely no risk. You can start your free trial without even entering your credit card information. Just visit ShipStation.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in BUSTED. That's ShipStation.com, then enter offer code BUSTED. ShipStation.com, make ship happen.
We're getting those stipulations as we get closer and closer to AEW Revolution and that pay-per-view and the match between Cody and MJF. And again, these are one of those discussions that there's no right or wrong answer, but different perspectives. I think Bully did an amazing job giving the perspective of the performer, the Hall of Famer, the wrestler. And I'm going to give the perspective of the fan, Bully, and why I'm totally in love with what I saw last night. And I think it's maybe the most significant moment so far in AEW's small history, in short history. That for fans, Bully, and I know you as a performer as well, because you've given many of them, and you've said it before on the show, and you actually just said it at the beginning of the show, that wrestling is about moments. And that was a significant moment for me. It's Cody Rhodes. They're in Atlanta. And all you have to do is say Atlanta, just the city Atlanta. You say the Omni, it gives me chills as an old school NWA fan. So many amazing matches, so many amazing moments. And probably the one wrestler that had more moments than any in Atlanta and at the Omni would be the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. And to see Cody just coming to that ring, the way he looked at the crowd, and what must have been going through his head, Bully, think about it. Think about Cody Rhodes and Cody Rhodes going back to the beginning of him betting on himself and leaving the WWE and then starting AEW, starting this company. Here he is, a homecoming for him, a hot crowd, a large crowd of thousands of people watching him, knowing that, you know, many times his father has done the same thing, such a genius, such an innovator. Like, I would think that all those images must have been going through his head as he was going to that ring. You know why I know that, Bully? Because they were going through my head as he was getting closer and closer to that cage. And again, him climbing up that cage to just enter and start that match, it gave me chills. It gave me goosebumps. And I understand what you're saying, because you're right. The psychology of a fight, probably not going to do a moonsault off the top of the cage. That moment, if it's going to be significant, that moment maybe should be delayed until we get that moment at the end of the story with MJF. But man, for me as a fan, for me as a Dusty Rhodes fan, for me as an old school NWA fan, and for me that's, you know, seen AEW from the ground up, man, that was such a memorable moment for me. And I can't think of a better way to cap it on than with that moonsault off the top of the cage last night. I mean, even talking about it with you, Bully, I almost want to be emotional. And I know, and we're going to play the sound from Cody Rhodes after the match, but man, I mean, just a wonderful, special pro wrestling moment, and to me, the most significant moment so far in the short history of AEW.
So watch this. What would your response be if I told you Cody Rhodes doing that moonsault last night was selfish?
I wouldn't believe it. I would say you were wrong.
No. I'm dead on balls right. Because selfish, much like the word politicking in the wrestling business, has a negative connotation, but it doesn't have to. Selfish is good in wrestling because sometimes you need to be selfish. And selfish sometimes is patting yourself on your back, on the back, and doing something for yourself that you want in your scrapbook for history. So just like you said, Atlanta, Dusty's town, now Cody's town. I may never get to stand on top of a steel cage in Atlanta for the rest of my career. I don't know what's going to go down. So if this is my one and only chance to stand on top of that cage in a town with so much wrestling history, in a town that my family's name is synonymous with, I'm doing it for myself. Because you know what, Dave? In 2000, that's exactly what I did in Madison Square Garden when I stood atop of Madison Square Garden. I did that for myself because I wanted that memory to live forever. So if I never got a chance to do that again, I did it. So if it comes to Cody's selfishness, I'd be the first one to say, good job, man.
Wow, I like what you're saying. First of all, thank you for adding yourself into that and that moment that you had in 2000 at Madison Square
Garden. I'm not adding myself. I'm only adding myself to draw the comparison.
Of course.
Because I understand the selfishness. And I'm using selfish in a good way. And the you know who's the one person who will tell you you need to be selfish in this business?
Who?
Vince McMahon. Heard the words come out of his mouth many times. Damn it, you got to be selfish if you want to get to the top.
When you look back at your career, I'm sure that that moment probably stands above many of the other ones because that was a moment that you did for yourself. I mean, for God's sakes, Bully, you're at Madison Square Garden. I just talked about you watching Snuka and Morocco in a cage at Madison Square Garden where you were sitting at ringside. That's not only a significant moment for you, but I'm sure it's a significant moment for a lot of fans who grew up watching wrestling at Madison Square Garden.
When I'm by myself, I can always look at that picture of me standing on top of Madison Square Garden, and I can say to myself, I think I might actually put it out on social media too. I can go, as a kid, I watched Jimmy Snuka stand on top of a steel cage. On that night, I stood on top of Madison Square Garden. When I walked into the garden that night, I was selfish. I saw that spot, and I said, I want to be up there. I want to stand there. I want to do this. It was all about I, because I knew I wanted it for myself. So if Cody did that moonsault for himself, bravo, round of applause, good for you, because you might not ever get that chance again. Good, you're a bloody mess. You stood on top of the cage. You did the moonsault in Atlanta. Place went apeshit. You know what you did, kid? You caught lightning in a bottle. I'm on board with the selfishness. Remember, the only thing that I'm saying, the other, you know, giving the other side of the argument here, and it's not even an argument.
No, like I said,
people are going batshit crazy for the moonsault off the top of the cage, and I could probably rattle off a half a dozen guys who have done it already.
And it's not an argument. It's, again, like I said, there's no right or wrong. It's different perspectives. You giving the perspective as a wrestler and me giving the perspective as a fan.
And how about this? I don't have a problem with guys doing a move that somebody else has done. I'm not talking about finishes. Finishes are unique to individuals and to teams, okay? If you want to do a finish as a tribute, a la the Dudleys doing the Doomsday Device as a tribute, that's one thing. But if you're going to copy something that somebody else has done, right, at least make it better. And I will tell you this, Cody's moonsault off the top of the cage last night, to me, sticks out. The only other one that I can remember off the top of my head was Kurt doing it off the top of the cage. Now, I'm sure there's many more that have done moonsaults off the top of the cage, right?
Of course. We've seen, and this is where it goes. Remember, not that long ago, we were talking about Kevin Owens and the bump he took off the top of the cage onto the table and how quickly we forgot about it just a week later that we're in a month down the road, we're struggling just to come up with the memory about it. Why? Because was it cool? Was it a visual? Yes. But was it significant in the moment? It wasn't. Last night, that moonsault off the top of the cage, no matter how many times it was done, no matter what the circumstances were, that one's going to stand out for me because of the aura, the environment, and the placement of why and when it took place for me as a fan.
And great. And I'm sure for a lot of other fans, it's going to be the same. And they need to replay that moment whenever Cody, has a package that he's going, you know, that they're designing for him. That moment of him not doing the moonsault. The moment is not the moonsault. The moment is him standing on top of the cage. That's the moment. That's the you know, a picture speaks a thousand words. That's the picture. Cody standing on top of that cage is very symbolic of this is the company that I created. Mm-hmm. And I may never wrestle for that World Heavyweight Championship again, but I will stand on top of the mountain and scream AEW from the top of the cage, from the mountaintops, until the day I die.
Bully, and that echoes what you saw last night with the fans in attendance and the fans watching on TV. A couple of months ago at War Games, Io Shirai did the moonsault off the top of the cage. Do you remember it?
Nope.
I didn't either. Alex Metz just reminded me. If he didn't remind me, I wouldn't have remembered it. Was it an awesome visual? Yeah. Did it show what an athlete Io Shirai is? 100%. But it was not done in a significant moment that's going to leave you a lasting impression and a lasting memory. The one we saw last night did, in my opinion.
And Alex's example, despite that Alex is a turncoat and he's leaving for the WWE and I hate his guts, it's a great example.
He's getting that WWE money.
But here's the thing. We could probably come up, and I'm sure the nation is bombarding us right now with other people that have done moonsaults off the top of the cage. There's probably been a lot more famous guys or gals. Didn't Charlotte do a moonsault off the top of the cage?
She did.
I struggled to remember it. It just popped into my head. Cody's will most likely...
No, she didn't. I don't think she did because that I'm thinking about it is that I think she wanted to. We were expecting it in that Hell in a Cell match with Sasha Banks, but it didn't happen. But okay. I digress. Go ahead.
I'm sure there's a lot more people that have done moonsaults. Okay, Nation, tell me everybody on social media who've done moonsaults. I'm agreeing with you. Cody's moonsault will live forever. If it was a selfish, if Cody were to come on the show right now and say, Bubba, I did it for myself, I'd say, good job.
Yeah, that one was
Bubba,
for me.
If he were to say, you know what, Bubba, I couldn't care less about the AEW fans that night. I couldn't care less about AEW that night. All I cared about was myself, and that's why I did the move. I'd say, good job. Because sometimes you need those moments. You have to create your own moments in wrestling. It's our art form. It's whatever we want it to be. And if we want our art to live forever, we have to create those moments that will live forever. Let me ask you this. Will Edge spearing Jeff Hardy in the Astrodome hanging from the rafters, will that moment live forever?
Yes.
Exactly.
If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. A lot of people think you need a car to enjoy SiriusXM, but you don't. You can listen outside the car. Right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Just go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. You can listen on your phone, at home, and online. That's SiriusXM.com/busted. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
We got a very pedestrian NXT. Not a bad show, but and I thought we were going to get more than a show that was coming off of an amazing NXT takeover in Portland.
I really liked the opening match between Devlin and Leo Rush. Really, really great wrestling match.
Any emotional investment in that match?
No. And it's interesting that you bring up emotional investment, because when it comes to NXT and AEW, and this is more with NXT, I find that I like a lot of their talent. I find that I care about very few. There's a big, big difference, man. In wrestling, you want them to care about you. Dave, do you care about your wife?
Of course.
You care about your children?
Yes.
Care about your animals?
Yep.
Because you have an emotional investment to them. I'm sure that there's plenty of people in life that you like that you don't necessarily care about.
Of course.
That's it. I like a lot of the talents that I see on NXT. they haven't done enough to make me care. Now, there are a few that make me care.
Ciampa?
I want more to make me care. I'm not as big of the Ciampa guy as a lot of others. That's not, and that's just me. And I think with Ciampa, for me, it's like the Randy Orton thing. I want to see the right guy across from him. I'm not sure if I've seen the right guy yet. And I know people are going to be like, oh my God, Gargano's the right guy, or this guy's the right guy. Nah, I'm not so sure. I think I need to see a brooding heel breathe down Ciampa's neck. I don't think anybody's put Ciampa in a position that he needs to be in to get people to truly care and love him. It's almost like he's too tough for his own good, in my eyes, sometimes.
Well, it's also hard because you've hated him for so long. And we talked about how Ciampa was probably the best heel. I mean, this time last year, Ciampa was probably the best heel in pro wrestling. But things have obviously changed. So it's hard to go from hating somebody as much as you hated Ciampa to now falling in love with him.
I like him, and there are times that I care about him. Not as much as I would like to.
All right, so let's talk.
Maybe I don't care about him because he broke my eardrum.
Maybe. And I would take that personal as well.
You know who I care about a bit more now than I did before? Keith Lee. And you know why? Not just because he won that match at Portland. The stuff on backstage, man.
Yeah, and I think like kind of Mark Henry would be like a big reason why.
Yeah, with Mark.
The vignette with Mark and then Mark's interview with him on WWE backstage. Just like you said, Bully, like you want to see that Cody emotional speech after AEW Dynamite on AEW programming because, man, now you know the emotional tie to what happened last night. I want to see more of the emotional side and the human side of Keith Lee to get me even more emotionally invested in him as a personality and a character. Do you agree?
All I can tell you is this. I am very impressed with Keith Lee. However, he still comes off entirely too sugary sweet to me. And that might be what endears him to a lot of people, not me.
Okay. I think that's part of his charm. To me, that's definitely part of Keith Lee's charm and why I like him so much. Keith Lee would be on that list of wrestlers on NXT that I'm emotionally invested in. Now, speaking of emotional investment, let's look at what was in the main event slot on NXT last night, and that is Velveteen Dream and Roderick Strong. So I guess Velveteen Dream is the face in this situation and Roderick Strong is the heel. But when I look at what took place last night between Velveteen Dream and Roderick Strong, I see a guy who got his ass kicked because he deserved to get his ass kicked. I mean, he wore Roderick Strong's family on his gear. And then, you know what? He mocked his family, mocked his wife. And then Roderick Strong and his friends beat the shit out of him to end the show. To me, justice was served last night on NXT. Do you agree with that?
Pretty obvious, isn't it?
Yeah.
And whenever I question something like you're questioning it right now, what do I immediately do? I look at the fans and I listen to the fans. Did you watch and listen to the fans last night?
Yes.
In that main event?
Yes.
What did they tell you?
Again, indifference.
Wow. What a horrible word to describe it. And I'm not saying that you're a horrible person for using that word. I'm saying it's just a horrible word. Indifference brings up shades of gray. Shades of gray are not good. Once again, I'm going to repeat what I've been saying for weeks. I know it's not going to happen, but they need to get the frick out of Full Sail.
And it's not even just that, but you said shades of gray. NXT, and we've had conversations and we've done shows on it, and I don't want to, you know, beat it down, but like it is, that is a, there are exceptions to the rule. There definitely is. Keith Lee to me is somebody that I can get behind and cheer. There are certain wrestlers that we can. But you know, watching that show last night, that show, let's look at AEW and NXT.
But look, Dave, the best wrestling match that took place last night was on NXT. It was Devlin and Rush.
Devlin and Rush was probably the best technical match that out of both shows.
It was the best wrestling match on both shows, without a doubt. Went about a half an hour. So I'm not we're not killing NXT. We're just giving honest assessment. I'm sorry I cut you off.
No. It's just that I had a lot of emotions coming out of NXT Portland TakeOver. I was, you know, gushing about some MVP performances. I loved a lot of what I saw, not only in the wrestling, but the emotional involvement that I had in the personalities and characters in the ring. I can't say that about the show that I watched last night. Because the main event slot was with Roderick Strong and Velveteen Dream. Hey, I love Velveteen Dream. It's great to see Velveteen Dream back. I'm excited for it. This is awesome because he's a character and personality that I enjoy watching each week on NXT. So I'm happy. But the shit he's doing with Roderick Strong, that's an asshole thing to do. You want to talk about wrestling history? Isn't that what Rick Rude did to Jake the Snake Roberts? And yes. Rick Rude was an asshole for doing it. So Velveteen Dream is doing the exact same thing. But the problem is that he's doing it to Roderick Strong, who's part of the Undisputed Era, which we saw a week ago beat the shit out of everybody that got in their way before they found Ciampa. So who am I supposed to cheer for and who am I supposed to boo for? And where's the emotional investment? Now, if I'm wrong or if I'm not seeing something, tell me what it is. But to me, when I saw Velveteen Dream laid out in that ring and the Undisputed Era standing over him, I said, you know what? Good for them, because they were defending his friend, because Velveteen Dream not only disrespected Roderick Strong's wife, but his child.
You find yourself a little confused?
A little bit, yes.
But watch this. We talked about that match last night. What if you took Roderick Strong and Velveteen Dream and put them in front of that Portland crowd? Would there be a different reaction to the match?
There probably would be, because it was a hot crowd. They want to cheer for somebody. So, you know, I guess they would get behind Velveteen Dream. Yeah.
This is why I keep going back to the Full Sail problem. And I know from business point of view, they're not going to go anywhere. But week after week after week in front of the same sets of eyes, eventually, to me, we'll catch up on you. It definitely happened in Impact, and it would even happen at the ECW arena sometimes. And I'm making those comparisons because they are the most like comparisons. Same place every single month. However, with NXT, it's the same place every single week. I mean, think about this. Look at how lively that AEW crowd is, like almost at all times, on their feet going crazy. Ciampa was throwing Austin Theory into the barricades and people were sitting on their seats. I know like one or two people were standing up, but they almost seemed indifferent to it. Like, oh, wow. Oh, whoa. That was crazy. Oh, if that was an AEW crowd, they'd be going apeshit.
And if that was NXT in an arena in front of 10,000 fans, it would have been a lot different than what we saw last night. And I agree with you, but I don't know how to feel about what we saw at the end of that show with NXT. Because to me, the crowd has a lot to do with it, but that's just a confusing segment. Who are you supposed to cheer for? Who are you supposed to boo at? I mean, the Undisputed Era is a strong heel faction on NXT. But Alex is shaking his head. No, they're not. I guess they're not.
They're a babyface faction, as far as I'm concerned.
But does a babyface faction, does four guys beat the shit out of one guy?
Well, I want to actually get your take on this because it's interesting. So before the match yesterday, Velveteen Dream sent out a tweet. Did you see it?
I believe I did, but go ahead, please.
So it says, "Dear Roderick Strong, in case you enter tonight's fight confused, left pick heels." So the picture on the left is a photo of, I guess, a pair of heels that Prince would wear because it has the little symbol on it. And then right pick, a baby face. And it's a picture from Dream's airbrushed tights with him, Marina Shafir, which is Roddy's wife, and their child. And it has the child's face circled, a baby face. And it says, "I am Dream. with love, soon to be, Troy's stepfather, kiss emoji. He doesn't follow anybody else on Twitter except for one person, and that's Marina Shafir, Roddy's wife. Now, is that something that a babyface would do?
No, 100% no. Actually, that's a genius heel move by Velveteen Dream. The problem is he's doing it to Roderick Strong, who's part of the heel faction on NXT.
I will agree with you that it is absolute genius work of his social media. Love it. And he's been great over the years with like his messages, like when he had, hey, Vince, bring me up to Raw on his tights or something like that. Dream is really good at thinking outside of the box. But if you look at it for face value, it's heel 101. I'm following one person on social media and it's your wife? How am I supposed to cheer for that? Oh, yeah, man. I can't wait until Velveteen Dream gets with Roddy Strong's wife. It's going to be awesome, Daddy. Hey, Daddy. That's Fonzie from ECW.
Well, maybe the NXT crowd are people that don't have a significant other or don't have children, you know, that are people that, like, cannot connect with the reason why I hate a Velveteen Dream, storyline-wise, obviously, and wanted to see him get his ass kicked. Maybe the people that are watching that show are just like, you know what? I think what Velveteen Dream is doing is freaking cool, man. That's so cool what he's doing. Man, what a cool dude. That's awesome, man. Yeah, disrespecting a man's wife and his daughter. That's awesome. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's not for me.
I don't know. Personally, with Velveteen Dream, he's another guy. If you go back, if you originally listened to some of my takes on him, I was personally, I love the character. I just feel like he's playing this character as opposed to being this character. It feels a little forced to me at times. And if you look at the NXT fan base, at one point, they were really, really on the Velveteen Dream bandwagon. I mean, he was getting monster reactions. Not so much anymore. I know he just came back. Alex, yes or no?
Yeah. I mean, I always think these injury things, they end up hurting these people. He had tremendous momentum.
Injuries are not supposed to hurt guys.
Yeah.
They're
I know.
Supposed
yeah.
to help
they seem
guys.
To, they, it but, seems to
but,
happen,
but
though.
But this is where I think that it's not has nothing to do with Velveteen Dream. It's the storyline that he's a part of. Like, Velveteen Dream has always been that guy, but when you're going after a man's wife and you're going after a man's daughter and you're going up against the ultimate heels in the company, but you're doing the heelish things, it's hard. Like, you know, how do you cheer for? Like, how do you cheer for that? If you're a man with a wife and a daughter, how do you cheer for Velveteen Dream in that situation? You can't. Because to me, I was watching that last night, and I was like, man, I hope Roderick Strong beats Velveteen Dream's ass. And then when he didn't, I was like, I hope the Undisputed Era charge the ring and beat Velveteen Dream's ass. And when they left him lying there, I was like, yeah, good for them. Because that's what you get for talking shit about a man's wife and daughter.
And did you see how they designed the first 5 minutes of the match? Strong looked like a pit bull who was trying to shoot in on Velveteen Dream, and Dream was just trying to do his best to get out of there and kept sliding out of the ring and then doing like the come hither with his finger. I mean, heel tactics, especially bailing. So here comes Roderick Strong, and he's trying to tie up with you and lock up with you and shoot with you, but all you can think about doing is get the hell out of Dodge and slide out of the ring. We've been seeing heels do that for 100 years. Unannounced, they're saying, Velveteen Dream playing mind games. I don't know. It's not resonating with me. And even like the Undisputed Era, I don't know. I see a huge drop off. Adam Cole
yeah.
Is, you know, he's the goods. I'm not quite sure about the other three. Well, I'm not saying they're not good. I'm not saying they're not good in the ring.
I know. I hear you.
But I think Cole is the total package.
But again, I look at the Undisputed Era. I have no problem with the Undisputed Era. I love Adam Cole. I love Bobby Fish, even though he didn't know who David Manning was. I love Kyle O'Reilly. But like, to me, it's more about the story that they're put into, Bully. Like, you know, when you put, like you said, when you're in that shade of gray and you don't know who the heels are and you don't know who the faces are. And if you're watching that show for the first time, if you watched NXT for the first time last night and you see like the Undisputed Era with Adam Cole and the Boom and the Bay Bay, and then you see part of that faction, another guy disrespecting that guy's wife and child. Like, you had to come out of that show thinking, all right, I know who the baby faces are. It's Roderick Strong. And boy, Velveteen Dream is one of the biggest heels in pro wrestling.
They must be trying to blur the line a little bit, but I'm not a fan of that blurred line when it comes to who I should like and who I should hate. And you said it great. If you watched last night for the first time, you had to leave that show thinking that Velveteen Dream was the bad guy and the Undisputed Era were the good guys, and they were just giving him what he deserved.
And again, even if you thought that, you never see a face faction, four guys beating up on one guy. That never happens. So even if you thought the Undisputed Era were the good guys, they're not, because it took four guys to beat up one guy after a match. Completely confusing. And again, the lack of emotional investment.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156 or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
The return of Darby Allin last night, and his entrance theme is becoming one of the more recognizable entrance themes in AEW, but pretty cool seeing Darby Allin. Pretty cool spot last night, especially with Jon Moxley.
Last night on social media, I said, if you want to know how great AEW is doing at getting their homegrown talent over, just listen to the pop that Darby Allin gets and listen to the heat that MJF generates. Darby is going to be AEW's version of what Matt Hardy was to the WWE back in the day. As Tad said, listen to that pop. Great reaction. Even JR just saying he's back. Like, JR wasn't like, who's this? What's going on here? JR said he's back, as if JR has known who Darby Allin is for years. JR and Taz got Darby Allin as over with their little, you know, with their little sound bites, as the crowd did with their pop. The guy's mega over. He's going to be a huge star in that company. I love Taz on commentary for the Cobb match. It's different and it gives Cobb credibility, because Taz can speak to Cobb's strengths. However, there was one thing about the Darby segment that I did not like.
All right. I'm interested to hear this. Now, there's a lot of people that had a problem with the way he came out last night. Is that the issue that you had with Darby Allin?
What was the issue with the way
there
he came out?
There were some people on social media that said that he kind of basked in the moment a little too long on top of the entrance ramp before heading to the ring. I didn't have a problem with it, but some people did.
I don't have a problem with that. I'll tell you what I do have a problem with. And it was the believability of the physicality. It was too spotty. Darby Allin was coming down to kick ass. I had too many guys waiting to do something to Darby Allin because he was too busy doing a spot with the first guy. Then here came the second guy. If that was just truly just a mauling, everybody would have just jumped Darby Allin. I would have much rather have seen Darby Allin just hit the ring and just start blasting people over the head with the skateboard, a la Steve Austin just coming to the ring and swinging for the fences with a steel chair, or fists for that matter. Darby slid in, and now he's waiting for the guy. Now we got to duck, and we got to do this flip, and then this skateboard thing. Then here comes the next guy. Entirely too spotty for something that called for a kick-ass moment. Darby should have just been laying everybody out with that skateboard. That's how I would have fine-tuned it and how I would have fixed it. Not him sliding on and waiting for everybody to come to him. Because what if Darby would have slid in and everybody would have jumped out? That's why you got to take the offense and the violence to them.
So, like, the believability in the moment, you had a little bit problem handling last night.
Yeah, but once again, did it matter to those fans?
No.
Nope.
And again, you're right, Bully. When you hear the crowd like they pop for Darby Allin's return, when you hear Taz and JR put him over the way they did on commentary, you completely forget that because you're overwhelmed audio-wise by two masters on the mic and by that energetic crowd for AEW Dynamite in Atlanta.
The crowd will make you second guess your reaction. Because if you're going, I don't know if I like this, but and then all of a sudden you hear the crowd and you're like, holy crap, everybody else likes it. Maybe I should like it too.
And you know what?
It's a perception thing. And that's why I say that the crowds on Wednesday night on Dynamite are infectious. Every town is going to want to outdo the towns that came before them. It's just like an old school ECW crowd. Every crowd tried to outdo the other crowd. We're going to be louder. We're going to have better chance. We're going to be smarter, whatever it was.
Well, somebody who was in the crowd is Jackson in Georgia. Jackson, what did you want to say about that crowd last night?
It was crazy. Everybody was just popping for everybody. Whether it was booing or cheering, everybody got a pop, and everybody was joining in. There wasn't a person on their feet the whole time.
Did you have good seats? Where were you last night?
We were right in front of where the Dark Order and the Inner Circle sat.
Okay.
Directly across from Sean with Rebecca Head.
Nice. I'm glad the LaGreca head is now a marker in crowds. I appreciate that, Jackson. Mm-hmm. Thank you. But, you know, and Jackson, tell us, too, because we got that call earlier. What was the crowd like during Cody's promo? Or no, I shouldn't say Cody's promo because it wasn't a promo, but Cody speaking to the crowd after the end of the show.
Like Sean said afterward, everybody was just emotional, and it was just everybody loved Cody. And Cody knows how to get people emotionally invested, because after the show, he was out taking pictures and signing stuff with everybody. He was really getting people invested, because if you know somebody is going to be that nice, then you want to help them be successful and tune in the week after that and the week after that.
You know what, Jackson? Great call. And that's something that Cody does possess with that AEW audience. It's the same thing that his father possessed with the NWA audience, that connection with the crowd. And you know what? Good kudos to Cody to speak into that crowd. And if you go back and you watch that, he wanted to make sure they were off the air because he was speaking to that Atlanta crowd that has supported his family for decades. That's how you make a connection. And then going out there and taking pictures and signing autographs and shaking hands, that's that special connection that Cody has with that AEW audience, Bully.
And that's the connection that you're looking for as a performer, as an entertainer, as a wrestler. You want them to feel like they are a part of the ride. I don't know of anybody else right now that the fans feel as close to within the WWE. Who would it be? Who do the fans in the WWE feel like they can reach out and touch, like a Cody is allowing them to reach out and touch him?
I don't know if there is somebody, because right off the bat, the WWE doesn't call their roster wrestlers. They call them superstars. So as soon as you hear the word superstars, it sounds like they're already at arm's length.
It wouldn't have shocked me if Cody would have went over the barricade and shook every single fan in attendance hand. No matter if it took him 2 or 3 hours. That's the kind of unique connection AEW and Cody is making with their fan base. A connection that has not been engaged in a long, long time. You know who had that connection with their fan base back in the day? Tommy. Tommy would stick around until the show was over and then go talk to all the fans in the parking lot, go hang out with everybody outside the ECW arena. A unique closeness that the fans feel like, oh my God, like Tommy's like my brother. Tommy's like my cousin. I love this guy. If he hurts, I hurt with him. That's how the fans are with Cody right now. It's a unique tapping into. And on the other side of it, MJF is doing a unique tapping into the people when it comes to hatred. And that's why it's working. Randy Orton is tapping into hatred. Edge tapping into love. Matt tapping into love.
Kind of reminds us of the relationship we have with the Busted Open Nation.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we bring the nation in as close as we can every day on the air. And then when we get to interact with them in person, hey, I just was at Warrior Wrestling this past weekend where I beat Brian Pillman and put him through a table. And every single fan that came up to me for, you know, like the meet and greet before the show,
mm-hmm.
every single one of them, love you on Busted Open, love Busted Open, love Busted Open, keep breaking LaGreca's balls, blah, blah, blah. And now I'm shaking hands, and I'm up close and personal with the nation. Mike DeCabby. Mike DeCabby popped because I saw him in line, and I yelled out, yo, Mike DeCabby. He probably just crashed his car just now because we just put him over.
Hopefully he's
That's
alone.
That's that unique closeness.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right, Bully. And that's why, I mean, that's why we started this show, and because I wanted that connection. And I felt that last night watching Cody.
Absolutely. You don't see that. Listen, WWE would go off the air sometimes, and Cena would bring a child in the ring, maybe the Make-A-Wish child and everything mm-hmm. like that. And those are those special moments because we're dealing with like a sick child or something like that, you know, who absolutely deserves that moment. And those are like those tender, endearing moments. But if there wasn't a sick child there or a sick person or somebody that the WWE was trying to, you know, make their day or, you know, grant them a wish, we might not get those moments. What Cody's doing is completely different. This is, I don't walk ahead of you. I walk beside you in this journey. This fan base is as much of a part of this journey as the wrestlers or as Tony Khan or as anybody else. If it's not for the fan base, this journey doesn't begin. This journey doesn't continue every single week. This journey doesn't look and sound like it does every single Wednesday night. He's endearing himself. Who else in the wrestling industry is endearing themselves to a fan base the way Cody is?
I can't think of one off the top of my head. I can't.
And that's why he can do no wrong in their eyes. That's why he gets the reactions that he gets during his entrance. On a side note, I'm glad Brandy got rid of the Nightmare Initiative or whatever it was called, mm-hmm. and is side by side with Cody.
I agree with that.
I like Brandy with Cody.
It helps, and it intensifies his personality and his character for sure, because it brings realism to it, and it wasn't before because you knew who Brandy was and you knew the relationship with Cody, and it was hard to boo and hate her. She's part of Cody. It's impossible to hate her.
Here's Cody, who left the WWE. He bet on himself. He went out there and he made it a new name for himself with Ring of Honor. And then he got with the Bucks. And then they were doing the Elite. And then they leave. And then they meet Tony and they start AEW. And the relationship with the fan base and All In, selling out in 28 minutes. And your wife is by your side. And your dog is by your side. And Arn Anderson is by your side. That is as close to loving someone as you can possibly, that's like 100% of pure emotional investment of love, just like his father had.
Thanks for listening. Catch us Monday through Saturday on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation, Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.